For the fifth Sunday in a row, our sermon text is taken from our Old Testament lesson that's appointed for today, Jeremiah chapter 30. I want to read just two of the verses. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." This is our text. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme for the Sundays of Lent has been grace in the Old Testament, especially as we see this grace always pointing to our Savior Jesus Christ. Over the last couple weeks, we've at times had to kind of dig for it. We had to maybe even get around some of our preconceived notions about our relationship with God or what God can and cannot do from our perspective. Today's a little different. To be frank, today's kind of like finding gold back in California in the 1849s. You know, that gold rush, it was just laying on the ground. The gospel in this text is right there in front of us. If anything, what we may have to do is just pause and think for a moment about the experience that's playing out here, that we would better appreciate how that grace applies to us. So when we think about what's going on here, the people that Jeremiah is talking to had a long history of knowing God. All the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Think of the relationship that's going on here. Here is the commandments I give you. And what they do is they serve you in your relationship with me. I will be your God. You will be my people. These words were drummed into the minds of the Israelites from the earliest of ages. I mean, think about it. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do any of you do that kind of stuff? Let's see your hands. I don't see anything on your forehead. Maybe when you get to your house, there's something on the front door, you know, suggesting to those who come that you belong to the Lord. But this is a very serious covenant that's made here. This is the covenant that Moses on Mount Sinai was received from the Lord God himself. And it formed the very lives of the people. And it even developed their communities. It was really a defining word in their relationship with each other. Now, from a historical perspective, especially as we link the other readings of the Old Testament to this one, there's been about 850 years since these words were first given by God. A lot has happened in that time. They possessed the promised land. The 12 tribes of Israel, the United Kingdom of God, split. 10 tribes to the north, the northern kingdom or Israel, or the southern kingdom, the two tribes known as Judah. Israel is destroyed by the Assyrians. And about 150 years after that, Judah is taken into exile by the Babylonians. Away from the promised land, away from the temple, they were heartbroken. Now, Jeremiah is quick to point out that the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, my covenant is a covenant that they broke, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. These exiled people are exiled people because they broke God's covenant with them. Even though he was to them a husband. Consequently, because of that, the Lord God's heart was broken. And that's a concept that is in scriptures. We especially see it with Jesus, but you also see it in the Old Testament. Genesis 6, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Why? The people that God had placed into the Garden of Eden had sinned, and their offspring continued to sin, so much so that God sent a flood upon the earth to save Noah and his family from it. Isaiah points out that God's people rebelled against the Lord and thus grieved his spirit. The work of the Spirit, of course, is to create that relationship with God. And so when the people rebel, they grieve it. They push away the word of God. They no longer listen to it, nor do they obey, thus grieving the Spirit himself. You see, most of the grieving in the New Testament as it references the Son of God, Jesus. Here in Luke 19, as we near the end of Jesus' life on earth, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, and when he saw the city, he wept over it. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The very people that had the prophets and the patriarchs, the very people who had the original covenant relationship, had rejected that relationship and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill it. And that grieved the heart of Jesus. It grieved the heart of God. God's people broke the covenant God had made with them by not keeping his promise, even though he was their husband. You know, we hear and make promises all the time, don't we? I'll be back at 11, I promise. I'll stop and get milk on my way home. I promise. This is the last night I have to work late. I promise. This morning's sermon will be short. I promise. You know, promises are at the very heart of our relationships with one another. Making a promise signifies that something is important to you. You desire to have a strong relationship with the person to whom you're promising. And our text certainly reflects that. God demonstrates his love to mankind by making promises of forgiveness and salvation. He covenants with them, and he fulfilled every one of his promises to them. You see, God's promises are able and dependable. God keeps his word. Our record, well, it isn't as good. No doubt you've heard or said the words, I promise, before. And no doubt you've broken some of your promises. All of us know in our heads what it means to suffer a broken heart. Sadly, most of us probably know in our hearts as well. Sometimes a broken heart is a result of an unrealistic hope or expectation. And as we await a certain answer to a certain prayer that never comes. Sometimes our heart is broken by the death of a loved one. But the most deeply broken heart may be a result of broken promises. a fiance or even a spouse has promised love and then breaks the covenant of engagement or marriage. When covenant promises like that are broken, it takes an awful lot of grace and growth for a heart ever to love again. Some of us have surely suffered that kind of broken heart, that kind of pain. Now, the promise of Jeremiah that he reveals about God is that all people will know God, for God is going to reveal himself to all people. Despite the fact that his heart was broken because we did not keep our promises to him, God remembers his promise to us because of his great mercy to us. They will know me, the least of them to the greatest of them. I desire to reestablish my covenant relationship with them on the most personal level of terms. So in our text, Jeremiah proclaims, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Why? What's wrong with the old covenant? Certainly nothing from God's perspective. We want to understand, I will make a new covenant, not from the perspective, okay, the old is gone, the new has come, but from the perspective of, surprise, there's more to this covenant than you thought. The covenant that I renew with you is the same covenant. However, I'm establishing it with people to be faithful to them again, just like I have been faithful to them always. He had freed them from the hand of Pharaoh when he brought them out of Egypt, in the wilderness, and then in the promised land again. God had been faithful husband to his people. He provided them with freedom, providence in the form of food, protection from their enemies. God loved them dearly and poured out his whole self into caring for him. The problem, as we said, is that the people he loves don't keep their promises. In the Old Testament, they had been unfaithful. They were making empty sacrifices, worshiping other gods. They were even cruel and evil to each other in their dealings. They broke God's covenant by not obeying it. And for these sins, God's people found themselves suffering. The Lord cast them or allowed them to be taken into exile in Babylon. Please understand that it broke God's heart to do this. God's heart breaks over each one of us as well. He aches over us when we suffer from a broken heart. His heart breaks when we don't listen to him, when we don't obey him, even when we break others' hearts by our sins. But God promises to remake his covenant with his people, to be their God by having his law written on their hearts. This covenant is going to take place after that time, declares the Lord. In the context of the text, after that time is after they have returned from their captivity to the promised land. But ultimately, this new covenant relationship takes place in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that God secures us in his relationship by placing upon Jesus the sins of all people. By his presence in the flesh, when he was born, Jesus enters the world. by the Holy Spirit being outpoured on the day of Pentecost, he lives in the hearts of his people, the church. And God has written upon our hearts as Christians the good news and the saving message of this covenant that I established with my people. That Jesus became our victorious Lord and has broken the chains of sin and death and the power of the devil so that we may live in a new relationship with God our Father and with each other. One of freedom, one of blessing, one of eternal grace. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. This new covenant through Jesus and his cross, his forgiveness, and his love motivates the Christian to live in faith and trust, acting according to the law written upon our hearts and displayed in our daily living. The covenant that God has established with the Old Testament people, the covenant that they broke, is renewed, same covenant. I will be your God, you will be my people. But the great aha is that it is a new covenant in Christ himself. God made this covenant promise and has fulfilled it through Christ our Lord. The promise that we have from God is one of forgiveness and love. Because of what Christ did for us on a cross, our broken hearts have been remade. We have been restored into a right relationship with God and by that same covenant grace with each other. That relationship is not established with us because we promise to do good. We try our best. Their promise comes from a compassionate, merciful, and gracious God who loves us and forgives us and covenants with us because of who he is. He's a God of love. He's a God of justice, of fulfilling for the Father all the necessary requirements that we may be his people and he would be our God. And because of that understanding, we the people of God have the opportunity and the privilege of living forever, not only in this life but in the life to come, with this gracious gift of God's love written on our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.